I'm getting better on Monday. Stop that.
Right. Red lights. Oh my god, that was stressful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alright, so here we are, a day early, a couple of hours early, all for one person. Harry, guess who's not here, Steve?
Well, when you first messaged and said let's meet up early, I looked at the fantasy football scores, the Chelsea score, and I thought, I'm not surprised.
Don't go there too soon, Steve.
But it turns out it's not enough. It's nothing to do with you. It's all for Harry, who...
It was all Harry last night.
It's not even it.
Harry last night played Monday night football very well on the winning team.
Very well.
We were all in the same team, but that dulcet tones, the myth, the legend, whispering Klaus... Actually, what's your surname, Klaus?
Come again?
What's your surname? I don't know your surname.
Lang.
Lang. Klaus Lang. KD Lang.
That's the one.
The other one. The other KD Lang.
The other one, yeah.
Welcome, Klaus.
Hello, also, hello.
Welcome, Klaus, you fucking idiot.
Thanks for having me. Jesus, yeah, I need to break this impersonation of myself with a voice. Well, like, where does he get that from?
What is bizarre? I'm glad you came. I really thank you, because I know you're a busy man. I mean, tennis, children.
Tennis, children. God, 4-year-olds taking your time, man.
But I am glad, because I listened back to last week's episode, and apart from lots of disturbing revelations, it also became apparent I somehow made you Chinese.
That's very bad.
Which is not fair.
Not quite near.
Because you are, of course...
Austrian still.
Austrian?
Yeah, very
mostly,
European, but Austrian
mostly
by
German,
passport.
Though. Mostly German by thought processes.
Not quite there, but let's put it that way. Well, so all over Europe, over generations.
The most I feel
is European. I'm the original European. I always say that.
And that's so bizarre that you voted for Brexit as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm loving Brexit because now I can do whatever I want in every country I own. Because the Europeans do not share anything with Britain and vice versa.
You are. You are like a spy.
It is perfect.
And
I tell you.
Actually, you never asked this, but Klaus obviously is Austrian. What brought you to... I mean, was it the...
It was music only, and my father even disinherited me because he said, like, you're not going to England. And I said, yes, I do. And I said, like, okay, I cut you off. Nothing from me.
Nothing. And you lost a dungeon.
My ex-girlfriend, yeah, my dungeon with all my little kids and God knows what. Who knows? Jesus. That was... Two Austrians who did that.
Only two.
30 years ago. Who got caught, let's put it that way, who got caught out with it.
Exactly.
So,
and actually.
Still, I came back from Austria one day and then switching on Channel 5. And what is on? The Fritzl documentary. And I'm sitting there like, Jesus Christ, I cannot believe that.
We got long memories.
Yeah.
And
but
actually,
he's out now. He's out now. And
I saw that because he's gone. Bizarrely, I think it's because he's mentally ill.
Well, surely he's mentally ill before he went in.
Mentally ill. He's physically ill. 88 and still a nutter. And yeah.
And actually, somebody said to me, it's really unfair. Probably you thinking about it. It's really unfair that Austrians are being branded with this because actually, the Belgians are quite fond of
much
it.
More,
so,
much more. Yeah. And he was much worse because he was kidnapping random kids from the streets.
As well.
Putting them in his cellar and really abusing them beyond. Not that the Austrians were any better.
No.
But at least it was.
Yeah.
Call out.
It was
family.
Now, what you wouldn't know when you click onto our podcast
is
it says fantasy football next to it.
Yeah.
Which we've decided.
We'll be coming to fantasy football again this week.
Which we've watched for Dungeon Watch.
We have got up to Dungeon Watch, but just a final thing on the dungeons before we go, because this is a bit of an anomaly, because obviously Klopp. Does he have Austrian heritage then? Because otherwise,
I'm sure of it. He must.
Must have.
The way
otherwise,
he looks,
why would
and
he
now
have
with his white teeth, Jesus, the vampires from Liverpool, they must have a sponsoring contract with some teeth whitening. Because first was Firmino, where you were like, Hallelujah, Firmino, don't open your mouth for your green. Whoa! And now everyone is like so white. And Klopp looks totally different. When you look at him 6-7 years ago when he came. He was this German with the glasses, and now he looks really like a little
despot.
Yeah.
I think a bit of
Botox.
I wonder what it is about the
North.
You get to a certain age, but then you decide to swap your glasses for contacts.
I don't know why you're looking at me, Steve.
I'm exactly the difference. I'm the total opposite. I had lenses my whole life, And now in the age group where I can't see with my lenses in. So if I've got lenses for sports, like this, who's calling me? Oh my God, I can't see a word. So oh, now I'm on
is that me or is somebody smacking? Is somebody smacking at me?
Maybe Harry's with us in spirit.
Harry did say, Harry did say.
Okay, coming back to Steve's fantasy football, I'm not on it, but I'm so intrigued for next year. I'm already training.
You are, yeah, you'll be on
I'm
it.
I'm already
Klaus.
In training because it is amazing. And I think who is leading Paul and who is second?
No. Eshu.
The
Paul.
Arsenal supporter and the Liverpool supporter. So I guess fantasy football league is always a little bit towards who you support because that's the tendency you put
you back.
Many
I
of
think
your
to be fair,
into.
To be fair to Eshu, I think he's a proper
he's a
fantasy
clever,
footballer.
He's a
he doesn't,
clever, good boy.
And he's not really, as we've established, not really an Arsenal supporter. He used to support Chelsea, but then
that's
he doesn't like, he's a purist. So when Chelsea started to win things, he stopped supporting them and went, who's never going to win anything again? Went to Arsenal. That's what he's like that. He's
and
a purist.
He's absolutely bang on.
So, we will. So, first things first, what we do is talk about our weekends, Klaus.
All right.
Did you have a good one? What did you get up to?
I got sunburned cleaning my driveway.
I
what
really thought
I
you were going to say
yeah.
dungeon.
What can I say? It was great.
Yeah.
It was
no daylight in that dungeon.
So,
no
cleaning your driveway. You got a driveway.
Yeah, 30
oh,
metres
you.
Long because we've got some garden with some drive.
30 metres long driveway?
Well, East London, that's where the paradise is. No more moped stealing because I'm a little bit on edge because my moped is parked right there on Southampton Road and knowing and living here for many years.
It's not there anymore. I just went past there because
yeah,
I forgot the microphone. I almost thought I'll run back, get my Vespa down. I thought, no, we'll get nicked.
Yeah.
So I got a line bike, either laughed, jumped on the line bike.
What is it? Yeah.
Had a flat tire, so I had to take that line bike back and then get another one. That's why it took me so long. So I'm quite stressed by all of
Jesus
that.
Christ.
All admittedly down to the fact I forgot the microphone in the first place.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that.
No.
You shouldn't do that.
It's you. It was the excitement, Klaus, that you were coming. I got overexcited. And
oh, hallelujah.
More haste, less speed. So driveway, and also, of course, you're busy, like Nathan, with small people,
yeah,
little people.
4 year old is.
And did she get into the school you wanted? Were you talking about that?
I don't know yet.
Still haven't had the letter.
No, because I think it's today or tomorrow. Well, in my age, stress is not coming up with that kind of stuff.
Stress is reserved pretty much.
Wow,
for
what can you do? Like put it that way. You're happy whatever school comes, and then you make the best out of it.
I like it.
It
very zen of you.
Yeah, you can't do much. No matter what school, it's the pupils who are there and the teachers, unfortunately. And
the parents.
You cannot. Yeah, the parents are the worst. Yeah, I heard
the
about
worst.
That.
They are.
It's like the mobsters from Austria.
Steve, what about your weekend? Steve, a bit of a sniffle again, haven't you, Steve?
Well, I'm desperately trying not to cough.
Doing well.
Over the mic.
Super good.
My attempt of coughing in my elbow just failed miserably because even I could hear myself spluttering.
Is that why you almost fell off your chair? Or was that somebody else?
That's just what happens at our age.
With a big cough.
So yeah, my weekend was pretty much back in...
back in bed.
Back in bed, yeah. So I'm literally nothing, getting over a chest infection for the second time in a month.
It's weird because Klopp Paul played last night and he hadn't played since way before Easter because he's had pneumonia. You've been a little sickly little Austrian for yonks.
Weeks, yeah. I brought it from Hungary, I have to say.
You got Hungarian flu. That's going to be more malicious, isn't it?
Yeah, so it meant my weekend was a non-starter. It means I missed... We'll give a shout out anyway. I missed my latest trip to Hackney Marshes.
No.
I did, which this time would have been to watch CF Phoenix take on Zingers in the Camden Sunday League Bill Price Cup.
Hang on, I thought you were at that last week.
That was a different team's different cup.
There's a lot of cups on those Hackney
There's
Marshes.
Lots of cups on these Hackney Marshes.
So I had hysterically... Do you want to say anything more about that, Steve?
Yeah, I definitely do, because we can't just gloss over the club's... CF Phoenix's first trophy since founding in 2017.
I'm going to guess they rose from the ashes.
They did rise from the ashes.
Or what?
And they scored in extra time. Extra time. So it went 1-1 in normal time, and then in extra time, I was reliably updated today that Pierce Ice in His Veins McDonough scored the winner.
Ice in his veins.
Ice in his veins.
Not as cool as Colton Palmer, is he?
Let's not get to Colton Palmer too early. I've got feelings. But yeah, he scored. He apparently put the ball through the goalkeeper's legs.
Shut up. He nutmegged the keeper. Klaus, you should come back to this. Klaus, international goalkeeper. We'll come back to that in a minute.
So yeah, the mighty CF Phoenix. Apparently they bleed orange. That would explain that kit, which is orange.
Are they Dutch?
Not that I know of. It's quite a nice colour, isn't it?
Yeah, I like
orange. Now, the thing is, if you're going to win a trophy at any level, is an extra time winner better than 4-0?
Yes.
It is, isn't it?
Oh, right? Yes. Always.
That drama.
It's everything. Back to a couple of weeks ago, the Man United win 4-3, injury time, equaliser and winner. That is far better than last night's tonking of Everton. Hey, it's Man United, and you know it's different. But that last minute, you thought you'd lost, or it's pressure. Oh, you're heading to penalties.
Jesus.
No one likes penalties unless they win them. So no, definitely that's the way to go. Definitely.
And that pure drama.
Yeah. Extra. And a nutmeg.
And a nutmeg.
Who did that? What's his name?
Are we talking about ice in his veins?
Is that what?
And another Pierce, of course. We have so many Pierces.
We've got a lot of Pierces. Name drops throughout the course of the season. Back to this podcast in a minute with another name drop. But yeah, good. Well, well done. Well done, the Phoenix. Like it.
So yeah.
So interestingly, Steve, after last week's same point about AFC Camden winning. Entertainingly, we were talking about it last night after the Monday Night Football and after Chelsea's fantastic performance. We were going on about it, and then all of a sudden, Tom McCarthy from behind the bar goes, "What are you talking about that for? Why are you talking about AFC Camden?" I said, "Oh no," he explained. He said, "He plays for, was it New River Plate?" And I think he's here now, because we're back. I'm pretty sure that's Tom McCarthy, but I'm terrible with names.
That is definitely worth a cough, because that is a very small world. We should stress that AFC Camden beat New River Plate.
And they even, not funnier, he said they were robbed because they should have had a Stonewall penalty just before they went up the other end and scored. And I think it was somewhat 2-2 at the time.
It was, I think the penalty might have been at 2-0. I think.
Oh, really? So they could have gone 3-2.
I can't remember. I mean, these games.
He was basically going on about it. I didn't, you know, pay a huge amount of attention.
Yeah, they're the memories you never forget.
But now, this will, I mean, we will ask you about your weekend, of course, but it also, when you links to these small worlds, the guy who set up the winner on Sunday is part manager, sort of. I called him Anthony Cluj, but I think he pronounced it very differently. Apologies if you listen to this. But you know, he's just chatting. And unfortunately, of all times for me to chat to him, he's an Everton fan.
Brilliant.
Who was at Stamford Bridge. He did joke he was at Stamford Bridge until half time.
Yeah. Oh, did he leave?
I don't know if he actually left, but what's the odds that as we sit down to record this, it's the one guy that was at Stamford Bridge?
I know, because even I wasn't at Stamford Bridge, because I gave a mate my ticket, and it's Monday night, so I played football. And also, I thought it would be okay if it was a top team, because we're quite good against them. But given that we've drawn 2-2 with Sheffield United and Burnley, it had 2-2 written all over it. But as you know, Klaus, because you're on the same side, open my phone after the game, 4-0 up already. Cole Palmer, perfect.
Perfect.
And somebody, Harry said, I bet how many of those were penalties when he saw that it was, he scored
zero.
Three. And I looked at him, none of them.
Only at the end they start fighting about it. Oh, lovely.
So let's go. We'll come to that in a minute. Because my weekend, after the previous weekend, Steve, which as we've discussed was a bit over emotional for me, this weekend, very quiet. I went out to see my mum on Saturday and then Gemma's parents on Sunday. So we were basically just on granny and granddad watch.
I've got to be honest, my weekend sounded better.
Absolutely. Much more related.
How dare you, but they'll never listen to this. They were all like, but you know that age. You really know what they're talking about. And my mum, we kind of struggled talking to her. She was, you know, getting all upset about something. I said, "Mum, you're deaf." She said, "Well, no, I haven't got my... This is the end. We've been with her for 2 hours." She said, "Well, I haven't got my hearing aid in." I said, "What? Why have you not got the hearing aid in while we're here?" She said, "Oh, it's quite uncomfortable." It's not as uncomfortable as having to shout at you, you deaf coot.
I mean, to be fair, listen.
Sometimes it's better not to know what happens.
I think that's why she takes it out, because all I do is insult.
Blah, 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 blah.
We do get a lot of feedback from this podcast about people who take off their... take off their hearing aids.
For Klaus!
Yeah, because I'm shouting all the time.
You say you'd be very quiet. We'll get you very nervous.
Well, let me put it that way. It's my nature to be quiet.
It's such bollocks. It's not going to wash because having done weekends, what we can now do, this will get you going. Why do you support Arsenal? That's
very simple.
Why?
Alex Manninger was an Austrian keeper, and when I came over in the 90s, he just moved from my home team, GAK, to Arsenal.
Was that a cough, or was that the name of a team?
Come again?
Were you coughing there? What's the name of the team?
The team is GAK, Grazer Athletic Club. And we're now...
GAK.
We are GAK, you know? And now we are about to enter the Premier League in Austria again after 20 years because we were deducted 56 points for whatever, going bankrupt and not paying the fee of some guy in Belgium, and then we were
so be like Rangers had to go all the way
for
up
for a couple of years, and now after 20 years they're about to come back to the first division in Austria.
One of us is tapping the table.
It must be me.
And it must be the Austrian.
Yeah. Always. Nervous and running around. Because it is actually the home team of Ralf Hasenhüttl too.
Of who?
Ralf Hasenhüttl. The coach of Southampton.
Yes.
Where's he now?
He's on gardening leave. I think he just took a new job. But I can't remember where.
He was another one of these managers that fall into that
one
upward trajectory. These big clubs are going to go for him. And then suddenly, like, Graham Potter, remember him?
Yeah, but Potter's been mentioned. After you mentioned him the other week, he was mentioned for Man United. Mind you, everyone has been mentioned for Man United at the moment, aren't they? After, because of course they,
you know what it is with these manager types? There are certain types who can manage top class.
Yeah.
And you need to be more a main manager than anything else. Look at Zidane. He won everything with Real Madrid. Put him into Brighton, he wouldn't win the third league in England. Because he's not a manager who knows tactics or knows God knows what. But when you put superstars with Zidane in the same room,
they can do it. Yeah.
And then he knows, okay,
you could have said
Karim Benzema.
Yeah.
You need to go there and then you score.
You could have said Pep, of course.
Pep, similar. But he's done it a few times.
Was he such a good footballer? I can't remember.
Yeah, he's. I think his stock went up. I mean, certainly when you speak to Barca fans.
Yeah. Yeah,
they quite adored him as a player as well.
So yeah, Arsenal, you support Arsenal, but yeah, I've got season tickets.
I got wasted in Arsenal, but I'm not going there much. I have to say, I'm giving it to my friends most of the time.
You have season tickets at both.
Yeah. And it's sometimes hard to manage when they're both playing at home. That's very tricky, I tell you.
So what? Yeah, why the West Ham ones? Because you live
West Ham,
there.
I'm living literally a stone throw away. I can walk there. And every time they play, you can't go anywhere because the whole of Stratford is closed down.
I know.
So you may as well go to the game.
It's very entertaining most of the time. And they had Arnautovic, the Austrian, playing for them. Then he went to China and going nowhere, and is now back in Italy. Because that's the other thing. Coaches, there are certain types, and Potter is not the Man United manager. Don't get me wrong, but Ter Hag is not great either.
But he's
both
more, he's
good
more.
Managers for certain styles. That's why he was so great at Ajax. But if you put the superstars next to him, he's like going nowhere. Look what he bought.
Yeah.
At Man United, you just think, like, who's buying these people? If you put them in one team, he's never going to win anything with that. And even if you're not a coach, you think like that. And Ralf Hasenhüttl was also more a system manager. And he came from the Salzburg school of Red Bull. So they're all playing this Ragnick, pressing one system, and when you play it well, you're successful with it. But you need certain players, you need to have players who sign up to that kind of game. It's Klopp ball. Klopp ball is more or less that pressing high.
All the time. And also, you see, Klaus, I've forgotten about this, but Klaus, of course, is it true you used to be play in goal for Austria under 17s?
Up until the under 15s. I remember my last game was against Germany, and we won 1-0, and I saved a penalty the last minute.
Wow.
And then I went in, and I knew, I'm like, okay, I think I can't top that anymore. So I said, like, amigos, this is it now.
They really
like,
stopped.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I was in bands. I was having the pharmacy of my father, who was a psychiatrist. So I was like in the middle of developing bad habits. And I knew,
You have to concentrate, don't you? What you're basically saying is you were dipping into the psychoanalytics, drugs.
The quality of
the psychedelics.
That stuff is beyond. So you never go into any like street dealership anymore with like Jesus Christ.
Well, hang on, what's he got in his cupboard?
Everything. You get pure LSD, whatever you want. Shut you get the up. Pure stuff.
You got any there?
No, he's dead. He's dead 20 years, unfortunately, and all gone.
Well, he used to class his dad.
Here we go, sweetheart.
What was that bloke in the
other thing? The other thing is the other day, because people think like, why am I so flipping out on football? And like, my wife, when Arsenal lost, I'm watching my studio now. I go to the garden and profoundly swore around like a nutter in the gutter, and I was like running around, and she's like, you can't do that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you never met my father, because on the football ground, he was swearing his head off. I thought like, who on earth is that? And I have to say, I inherited a little bit of it.
So what? So let's go there, because let's not spoil ourselves any longer.
What the fuck happened? What was that all about? Liverpool lose to Crystal Palace at home. Doors are open.
Crystal Palace, a new Austrian coach again, you know, doing us a favour.
Can we just take it that everyone's got an Austrian in there somewhere?
Well,
but what? So somebody? Do you? What happened to Arsenal? Did you go, Steve?
No, I was ill.
You were ill. Very impressive of you.
I was at
Did
home.
You go?
No, I was already feeling it, because you see what happened is very simple. Against Bayern, we lost it halfway through the first half. And you could see it. We were ruling them, we were like pressing them, we scored. Then all of a sudden, Raya takes a dip and thinks like, oi, I'm another number 10. Not only Zinchenko can do that, I can do that. So he's running around God knows where. And we're getting a 1-1 where I'm like, Jesus, how did that happen? And the 2-1, I'm like. And then you saw, Arsenal, the mental break was there. And you just felt when Aston Villa comes, everyone super motivated. Unai Emery, like, oi, you sacked me, guys. Ooh, I'm going to come after you. And you could feel it.
I feel like if you could have seen Emery's notepad before the game, it said everything that happened. You sort of absorb it. The first 45 minutes, don't overstretch yourself, don't panic too much. If we get a chance, fantastic. If not, we'll persevere. You got to remember, Villa had two of the most unlucky attempts at goal I've seen in one game. They managed to hit the inside of one Watkins, hit the inside and managed to curl around the other post.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And then in the second half, they hit the crossbar, it came down, hit the inside of the post.
Yeah.
That's what I saw. You're right, I've never seen that before.
Now, if you're any kind of team, you kind of think, okay, actually, if we defend with some noust here, there's going to be so much, especially the more desperate Arsenal get.
Mm.
Because the strange thing is it feels like the Arsenal players get this confidence from attacking even when they're not being successful.
Yeah.
So they become more gung-ho. Zinchenko suddenly thinks, because he's played with Jesus before, they should always be side by side on the pitch.
What do you mean, Steve, suddenly things? He comes on a pitch and he's already like, oh, I'm Lionel Messi, just in disguise with blonde hair. That's how Zinchenko comes. Not suddenly, he's not making Tielemans.
Well, it doesn't help that he plays in midfield for Ukraine.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So no one really has given him the discipline of...
When you're up
for, he also can't defend. So even if he stayed back, he wouldn't be... he would just be getting in the way.
I mean, let's be clear. Shame Harry's not here, because, of course, you know, losing at home to Crystal Palace is very different.
Oh, they were at home.
From losing at home to Villa. Because Villa, you know, good side. There's no mistake. They're not...
Yeah, but
you know, they're not fourth by accident.
Villa is our bogey team, unfortunately.
They used to be our bogey team when we were good. I think they are now that we're shite. It didn't bother us so much.
Because I remember last year we won in the 93rd minute with Jorginho hitting the crossbar and hitting Amy Martinez on the back of his head, and then it was 3-2 for us, something like that.
Yeah, they were a good side, so that's not as embarrassing. But I suppose the problem, and it was you, somebody was saying, they wanted, I think Harry was saying, Arsenal supporters wanted Liverpool to keep winning because psychologically that's better for Arsenal, because if they're left against City on their own,
That sounds like a Liverpool fan.
Yeah, it doesn't matter one way or the other.
They're desperately told that somebody supports them. No, they don't. You're right. You've seen through that load of bollocks.
It was us not being up for the job, Jesus and Ketia as our sole central strikers, never score a goal since God knows when. I can't even remember when one of them scored lately. So with these two up front, and as you rightly said before, the problem is, why do you change the team for Jesus and Zinchenko? But they're not giving us anything other than giving the ball away.
But Trossard and Jesus wasn't them that combined to get the equaliser against Munich. So that did work on Tuesday.
As an impact, when they start, it's never the same.
Oh, they started, did they?
Yeah.
They started.
It's never the same. And it was problematic.
Right, while you two are having therapy, do you want to know?
Yes, please.
What are you on?
Any
Shandy. Steve, another one?
Another orange juice.
Are you working?
I'm on antibiotics.
Yeah, that's so helpful.
The joys of adulthood.
Is that running through?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's carrying on.
We don't.
I'm going to check this afterwards. I want to hear if either of you actually use the word bottling it. That's what I want to hear.
We're not going to talk about Chelsea.
No,
it's
right.
Okay.
Bottling, but it's another thing which is strange. How many teams did lose the Premier League from Newcastle downwards in the last couple of weeks? And it's always Arsenal who's bottling it. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be optimistic and say, look, ultimately, as it stands, we've still got the best defence. Sunday's the first time we've seen our team lose in the league this year.
That's true. Yeah.
And it's just unfortunate that the calibre and standard is so high that one defeat essentially might cost you the title. Even now, we're 2 points behind.
You know what bothers me the most? The swing of the goal difference. 6 goals in one weekend. That's bothering. Because when you look at who's Man City's playing, because I was banking on, well, if we're lucky enough and we've got plus 10 compared to the others, then we might have a chance. But if it's goal difference-wise already on the decrease, then even that wouldn't help us.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, looking at the table now, our goal difference is still plus 5, which is obviously not much, but for that to come into play, it means City have had to draw a game, and that game we will have had to win. The problem is that I don't think many Arsenal fans honestly think they're going to win all 6 of their remaining games.
They have some big games,
because you've got Old Trafford, you've got to obviously play Spurs. But the flip side is, it is the first time I've seen Arsenal lose in the league this year.
And not only that, when I saw the run-in, and everyone was like, oh, you got the hardest, I was quite happy. Because the other 2 years, we were playing against God knows what, and oh, you got such an easy run-in, and we couldn't win a single game for 5 games last year, for example, against God knows who.
That could still happen this year.
Absolutely, but my aspiration is that we're always playing better against teams who play against us. Because then there's a football game. As Aston Villa was having 10 people in 2 walls standing there and then moving it forward on our left-back Zinchenko side, twice scoring from there, because he was like, oh, where's Zinchenko? Sorry, I'm on the right wing up front. And on the second goal, we had a corner or something like that, and then Smith Rowe ends up against Watkins. How's that?
Do you think, I mean, I think we know the answer, but Arteta would have prepared for his team, decided to give some sort of loyalty points and change his starting lineup. Then found out Liverpool lost, which was definitely not expected. Is that the point that a manager should have been able to say, okay, you know what, I can't risk Zinchenko now because this game is even more important psychologically? If we win this now, we're almost creating a two-horse race. But instead, he just stuck to Zinchenko, who's clearly, I mean, apparently he's an Arsenal fan. He's got coach material on the sidelines. He does what you would want. He's quite energetic. He's cheering. I don't know if he motivates you, but he tries. But he can't defend. And then you bring in, of course, Jesus, who can't question his work rate, but he's meant to score goals. So you take Havertz away from the top of the pitch.
You see, when I saw the... Because I get the team sheet always an hour early, and then I go through it, and then you wonder, as you rightly say, Havertz just behind. When you look at these main mountains of Aston Villa, and then you see Jesus, or whatever you call him, it's not going to work. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to see that little guy would be the reverse as a false nine, and Havertz up front would work better than the other way.
So I just hear you say false
Jesus.
Nine.
Jesus.
Fucking hell.
What did I say?
False nine. Did you just
no,
say false nine?
No, that's what I would have said, as it was so
important.
They
shouldn't have left you alone. They should not have left
as
you alone.
As it was so important to win that game. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Cheers. As it was so important, as you rightly say, it was mandatory to win that game. Because that would have been a signal, we're up for it.
Yeah.
And I just wonder how many managers, basically what I was saying, was Arteta would have had his polished plan, so to speak.
Yeah.
Should he have had the gall to then change it when he suddenly realised Liverpool lost? Like, okay, get Zinchenko back on the bench.
Where he belongs.
We need to not... This is a massive game now.
You do wonder, and I remember somebody saying, it was entertainingly, and I now even can't believe I've gone there, but it was, you know, the half-time, or yeah, like you say, right, the speech before a game. Because, you know, it's a long season, or like 32 games in or whatever. Exactly that. Liverpool have lost. There's a bigger crack opening now. He says, right, he changes it a bit and then has that speech before the game because they've just come off Bayern Munich. It's easy for them to get a bit, this is another Premiership game. He has to say to them, these are the moments. You know, you see them, don't you? Those clips of these proper coaches pumping everyone up, saying this is the game that you play against. And people like, you presume, people like Ferguson are good at it. Pep Guardiola, who I've got no time for at all since his Barcelona days against Chelsea. But he obviously gets into his team's heads for games like Luton. All right, you know, it was expected much of Luton, but they taught them. He said, this is a game we've got to get up for.
Let me put it that way, Bruce. Pep Guardiola never had a team where he had two at the same position who were nearly equal. At Barcelona, he had a double team.
Yeah.
At Bayern, he had a
double
team.
No, don't get me wrong. He's got good teams, but he doesn't let them get complacent. Actually, he needed to find... You're right, I think he should have changed it up and said, you've got to go for this. You've got to wipe them out by half time.
I mean, to be fair, Arsenal played some fantastic football for the first 45 minutes.
Yeah.
There was some real Odegaard.
It was just lucky.
You know what I'm missing here is? It looks like playground football. We want to score the perfect goal. That's
always been Arsenal's problem.
Yeah, but Arsenal have always had that.
That has always been your illness.
You need to get them at the business end.
Yeah.
Of the season, you need to get that focus on.
That's why dropping Jorginho was a massive mistake, because you're taking out the one player
who knows
what the final game's like. And of course, the big problem is you talk about motivating a team before. Is, you know, okay, we're recording this on a Tuesday. Some people listening to this may know what the Bayern score was already.
Yes.
Now, if that goes tits up and we get beat by Bayern,
the season is over.
Suddenly, the season is over. You're looking, I mean, it's only 2 points behind, and if City were to draw, Arsenal's goal difference, they could draw at Spurs.
Last night, when you're relying on Tottenham for something, you'll know your world's gone.
Not just that, but I mean, dare I say, what would Spurs do in that situation? Yeah. I seem to recall a time where they took the lead, I think at Old Trafford, and then suddenly realised that was handing the trophy the wrong way. And suddenly goals were going in the other end.
I think we've got a bit of a say in it as well, because I think we're playing
We've got you at home.
Next week, Tuesday.
Yeah.
But you've got City as well, right?
No, we've played.
I think it's Liverpool.
We've got them tomorrow. Not tomorrow, Saturday. We've got the Wembley Bridge. Back to Wembley Bridge for Bruce.
Yeah. But you see, what coming back to the mentality, my only question would be, coming back to Xhaka.
Yeah. Yeah,
he would was there that. Last
yeah,
year, and I read an interview, and he said to his lads, when they were 5 points up to Bayern a couple of weeks ago, he said, listen, guys, I was there 5 points up in April,
and then we
shit all did nothing. We lost everything within a couple of weeks.
Bottled.
So please, don't dare to let go.
But
he'd have been in the changing room.
Yeah, but he was part of the team last year that didn't.
Yeah, but succeed. Oh, yeah, you're right. I suppose it makes. How many other teams were there last year?
The tragic is
from that.
We're having so many people who go away and then win things. And with us, they don't.
Do you think it's just. Is
and that's
the
problem which I
well it's definitely
I
something
have.
Quite bizarre yeah. and sort of what was that show on like unusual sci-fi the Twilight Zone there's something quite odd Twilight Zone-y about refreshing the scores and you see Arsenal's big game and they're going to go down 1-0 at least to Villa and then Jack has just scored to win to help
even the commentator was coming in
because you're kind of like what a different world, you know. 1 minute you hate Xhaka, then he suddenly plays phenomenal and you want him to stay. But then he goes off and, anyway. You know, Harry Kane went to the Bundesliga to win trophies.
It's true because it's that story, wasn't it? A Tottenham shirt underneath, in the middle of the pitch at the Emirates. And if you put a Tottenham shirt anywhere, presumably that guarantees that organisation won't win ever anything. And that's the story. You heard that one of the builders put a Tottenham shirt.
I'm sure of it.
Well, I there
Should
was a
dig it up.
Actually, you'll appreciate because it was a Chelsea fan. Used to own a business. I won't say what business because he may not want me to. But he used to run this thing, and on one side it had to try and make a small space look bigger. It had mirrored panels.
Yes. Yeah.
Big Chelsea fan.
Yeah.
And he'd got him and his mates to sort of lay it out and help set it up. And then time did its thing, and they decided they need a refurb. So he took the mirrors down and found out that his two mates, who were Arsenal fans, had done graffiti of Savinho's goal against Chelsea and the tactic board of passing it.
But his business didn't go bust, so as a curse it didn't work. I mean, I think...
Yeah. But the other tragic is, when you look at it, Fabregas, Van Persie, Nasri, the list is so long... Who went
not
from
Van
Arsenal to whoever, and then
they
not only
anything.
they took pay cuts, and that's what bothers me. No one wants to come to Arsenal. What was that Serbian striker who went to Juventus? We like basically licked his bum to come to us, and he's like, no way,
Vlahovic.
Yeah. Well, did they have a rough tongue?
No, my problem is that. The sad thing is that Arsenal is not a club with the prodigy of they're going to win it and we want to
win it. No, but
they
do end up, like, for example, when we signed Odegaard on loan, I was one of the only Arsenal mates who I knew who just hated it. Because I was like, we're going to take this fantastic player, he's going to show people what he's capable of, and then just go elsewhere.
That's true.
Now, I was completely wrong because it turned out he stayed. He loved what he's experienced.
And also, it's funny. I mean, maybe it's my age for you, Steve. Not for you, though, Klaus. I remember that Arsenal side of the sort of late 90s, early noughties. And, you know, that you were the team to join because that team, you know, with Henri and what's his face, the Nutter. Terrified Keane.
Vieira.
Players like that.
We haven't won a thing. And why?
Well,
because he was a character who was a superstar without overdoing it. Because
the
problem with Arsenal is that on the day where they need to win, they're so overmotivated that it actually has the inverse effect to them.
Did look like you did get well. Actually,
they played super good for 18 minutes against Villa. The first half was great, but you could see they haven't got the. Oomph.
I feel like there was a lot of Arsenal fans who, certainly myself, when I saw it 0-0 at half time,
got
I was like,
anxious.
We're done here.
It's funny, Alan Shearer, unusual for him, I read a piece he wrote, and unusually he said, and he wasn't knocking Arsenal, he's saying, I've been on a team, and you can sense it in the crowd, and then you see the players, they rush things, they get agitated, they're calm. And not Alan Shearer, for all the dullness, very good goal scorer. He said, I've been there, I could hear the sighs from the crowd. They're not even, it's not like Chelsea where they're getting booed. It's just agitation and anxiety, and it's just creating an atmosphere that is not conducive to going for it. Whereas
I don't think that was there at the Emirates, so I think there was a little bit of
that's what he I don't know
yeah, but Aston Villa got cocky. They started the second half like, okay guys,
we definitely gave the opponents confidence.
We survived the first half. You can pass around for Great Britain, we don't care. We hit you on the counter, and they did. And the first goal, I thought, like, where on earth is anyone on the left? He was standing there for half an hour, and I was already watching it. I was like, Jesus, get one. There were four people on the goal line, more or less.
Have you got people injured in your defence? Because your defence has been solid. It did seem like they went.
No, somehow
they lost it now. Because since Bayern, since that Raya Gabriel hiccup, since then we're chittery at the back again.
So do you think... So you don't think you're going to... Is it tonight you're playing or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
So you don't think you'll beat Bayern?
It's a massive ask. You're in, you know, you're in their own patch. They've got the fans back who will no doubt feel a bit pissed off that they weren't allowed to travel.
Have you been there? Been in the ground?
They're definitely going to make a point.
They all have. They are very organised. Classic German. It's not like a crowd, like an Italian crowd or a Spanish crowd. It's all very military at Munich. I mean, it was Bayern Munich when Chelsea, because Chelsea went there to win their first Champions League.
Oh, yeah.
Class.
Yeah.
What was the second one? First time they won it.
And being there, it was so organised. They had like drums, but they weren't just drums. They had a kind of organised chants and everything. And they'll be quite Nuremberg about the whole
thing. Yeah, but you know, I'm more concerned that I don't see the cockiness of Arsenal, which you need to win. Because I remember Chelsea beating Bayern, you had John Terry, Frank Lampard. They're cocky Brits.
John Terry was suspended. He was just in his strip on the side.
Yeah, but he was sitting and frightening the people from the stage.
But yeah, he was there. Or selling them cocaine.
What you saw was you need a backbone of characters, which I unfortunately have the feeling, and Arsenal, we're always missing that level.
Well, you're missing is an Henri or a Vieira, because we had then, tell you who we had then, Drogba. Who was astonishing. Not only...
Saint Laurent has still a stripe in his underwear. Whenever he saw Drogba, he was already, oh my God, oh my God.
But at that
he
game...
He couldn't sleep for 3 weeks before the game.
But at that game, what was amazing about Drogba, not only did he score the equaliser, which was astonishing, he then gave away a penalty that they missed. Arjen Robben, I think it was, missed
it. I can't remember.
And then, of course, it was his final hit, the penalty shootout. It was his penalty they had to score to win. Like it would have been against Man United, but he got sent off. So Terry had to set it. So you need players like Drogba who are ice cold.
Coming back to Xhaka, because Leverkusen is a team of nobodies, of championship geezers, who obliterated, haven't lost a single game in every competition all season. And you know what I think? Alonso won it all, and he knows. When the finishing line comes, they were 5 ahead, and now they are 18 ahead. Arsenal was 5 ahead, and then they lost it because Arteta never won a thing.
Alonso
was a World Cup winner, a European champion. How many times did he win the Champions League? He knows. Okay, amigos,
it's in his blood.
Now is the time. And when you see them against Karabakh, the whatever Azerbaijanis, 2-1 down in the 93rd minute, and then winning 3-2. You just thought, like, how the heck? And last year, Arsenal had a purple patch where we had games like that. But they were too early. Yeah. And then at the end, we never came back.
And it's happened again, Now, just before we go, because I'm worried, with enough of Arsenal, I think we spent a bit more time on Liverpool. Because back to them, I mean, actually, because they've never really won the Premiership, because obviously we've spent numerous occasions, Klaus, the COVID season doesn't count.
Or was it the COVID season?
It was the COVID season, so there was none of their squeaky supporters in that basically put them off. So that is the cap. So actually, Klopp, for all his huff and pluff, did he ever win it with Dortmund?
I think he won it with Dortmund. Yeah, but I'm not quite sure. Because he lost the Champions League final against Bayern.
That's right.
I remember that. But I think he won it because they won twice during the last 20 years.
Yeah.
There were only four other teams or five other teams who didn't win other than Bayern.
So in a way, for all this, you know, isn't he amazing? Is Klopp another one of these managers that cannot really get them over the line?
Klopp is the typical, there's the other end, the talkers. Who talk endlessly because we had them over the 40 years I'm in football. I see it every now and then. There is this guy, Jesus, who motivate you for a season, 2, 3, 4. That's why he needs to go after six, seven seasons, because then the people sitting there like, oh Jesus, he's talking again. That's what I think now with Liverpool, because I never had them on the winning sheet anyway, because you could see they wanted it too much.
Yeah.
They were lucky on certain occasions. And then now, the amount of chances they're missing is beyond the grave.
Well, they've come back. That's the stat, wasn't it? They've come back from a goal
26
down.
Points. They had
so many, and it's true.
You need to lose at the start. They're giving away goals for Great Britain. Cool. So if you're good enough to come back, why don't you start winning by winning it in the first place?
Yeah.
So obviously at the back they're so bad that they always have a goal in them. And let me put it that way. The showreel for goalkeepers is certainly Arsenal against Liverpool this year.
Yeah, Jesus, that was funny, that game, wasn't it?
They were all comedy goals. Yeah.
So, Klaus, your best live football match, the game that you most enjoyed, what was that?
Austria winning against Argentina before the 1998 World Cup in Vienna. That was beyond.
Before the
World Cup as a friendly.
Yeah.
It was like, you picked a friendly.
Yeah, it was the best match ever.
That's how Austria is.
Austria never won a thing, and since Brexit, I'm not supporting Britain anymore, funny enough. I can't. Before that, you never won anything, but I was the hardcore English fan, like no one's business. And with Brexit, I thought to myself, you know what?
Oh,
it's not my country anymore.
It wasn't you, Klaus. They were trying to get rid of.
Since then, I can't support Britain or England, so that's why I'm not choosing a match. But I have to say, the one I watched, the best one was Beckham scoring against Greece for the qualifier.
Oh, you were in the game. You were at the game.
Yeah, yeah, that was the best.
That's what I did. Sort of mean a game you were at that you thought.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow,
that was the
special.
Best. It was bloody.
That was the qualifier, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It was 2-2 or 2 something.
Was it a free kick?
It was. Yeah. In the 90s minute, I was like, I was hopping all the way home, happy as.
And so that's funny. And what about your best live goon game?
I had a great season ticket from the opera director of Strasbourg all the way in 2004 or 2006 when we went all the way to the finals. So I was watching us beating Juventus, Real Madrid, and it was like, Jesus Christ. And once I was late, and then all of a sudden I ended up standing next to the teams at that marble hall. What am I doing here?
What were you doing down there?
I don't know, but it was such a great ticket. Klaus. I had access to everywhere. Klaus. And I was standing there next to Poppy and like, yeah, hooray!
had you been at your dad's supplies?
Oh, I was on every supply that was on planet Earth. And it was fantastic. And I was standing there with the team like quacking away like, all right, great game and la la la, and let's beat them again. And they were playing amazingly.
Who was that against? Who were they played against?
I think that game was against Juventus.
Yeah. This is the one where you got to the final, Paris, Barcelona.
Yeah,
I have to say that I was once at a school's event for like a inter-borough schools competition. And because Bobby Pires was a local, his kids were local at school.
He's lovely.
So he agreed, just, you know, out of the goodness to turn up and present the trophies.
Show them how to dive.
I have never seen a room largely of mums just swoon in unison. And I've also never questioned my own genetics before. You really realise...
You were swooning.
I mean, like, I was swooning anyway, but just when you really look at life's lottery of genetics and you go, I'm quite a confident lad, I think I do.
And handsome.
And then you see him walking and you realise there are levels to this shit.
But is it him or is it the size of his paycheck?
It's him. I think he had just... I mean, his accent as well, certainly.
But let me put it that way. You think I've got an accent? He's like 40 years in England and still speaks like he moved here yesterday.
But he's... Perez.
I think only in public, because I think he's probably Cockney when there's no one around.
But the
control he had in that...
Hang on, where's Perez from?
France.
French.
But the French do that. They go, he's all the time. He's been over here for 30 years.
At least, yeah. He's longer here than me. And funny enough,
your accent is... Yeah, it's not as strong. I think the French have it. I think they all watch hello.
I never get away with it. Every time I go anywhere, like, oh, where are you from? Yeah. Seriously?
I don't know, when you saw what his accent did in that room, you would never lose it either.
No, exactly.
That is true. The Italians and the French never give a damn to get rid of that.
No, because but apparently, now I find this hard to believe and I have no evidence, but apparently an English accent in the States
goes beyond
the people will get a bit sweet. Even an English accent speaking French,
because it's so unusual.
Apparently French girls get quite excited. This is
third hand, but I'm certain everyone
noticed. It's very popular wherever you go.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But the funny thing with the Austrian accent is, because it's much lower, the register of the voice, than the German.
Yeah.
So most people think like, he's got an accent, but you cannot pinpoint it.
They don't think it's German.
Because we're having a much lower voice register in Austrian German.
Because of the pitch of your voice, if I was listening walking in, I'd be hearing South African.
That's what many people say, yeah.
Because, yeah, there is definitely
Because South African is Dutch, which is familiar to German.
Yes,
There are loads of people who think I'm either French, South African, or Australian. French is only on a very good day.
I bet your does your accent, and we're talking in terms of attractiveness, does it get attention? I'm thinking of people who are a bit into S&M, want you to dominate. Like Rich would, if you walked into Rio's, Rich would say, I've been a very bad boy.
I've never tried it, to be frank, but maybe, who knows?
Well, I mean, have you been asked?
No, have they ever come out and said... I haven't leaned towards that.
Discipline.
Could be actually, but no.
Well, I think that's research, and you have to come back afterwards to see how it goes down
at
Rio's.
Absolutely, maestro.
So, now the important stuff, because we're running out of time. You want to go? Have you got to go? What time are you going to go? You're right now.
We're good so far.
Okay, so two things we want to talk about. First of all, of course, is Chelsea's game last night, which I miss it, of course. To go to play football, can't believe. I think, can't believe we already done this, but basically could not believe that we were 4-0. I think I was putting it to you before.
You did win 6-0 altogether.
But 4-0 up at half time once we finished our game at 9, and then that is under, because of course we're not bad against good teams, but we're pretty shite. I mean, Burnley, Sheffield 2-2 to both of them. I was expecting another 2-2. Where are you going?
PP.
Just because I'm talking about Chelsea?
Yeah, well...
Come back here and wet yourself listening to this shite.
Bloody Chelsea. But to say about Chelsea, they played well. And that's why you ain't going to win the Euros. Because Pickford in goal will let
you down. Is he still first choice?
Yeah.
Is he? Yeah, Pickford will be
just giving you a thought for the discussion.
But yeah, but what was amazing was I thought... Yeah, I didn't just give the ticket away because I thought Everton is going to be 2-2 or profoundly disappointing. Mostly it was because it was a Monday night. But I thought, Cole Palmer's off the scale.
Well, we've spoken before about Mourinho letting Salah and De Bruyne go.
Pep's got this on
his
card.
Is up there, isn't it?
On his card, he's now. Do you realise?
How many records Palmer is now either about to break or broken?
Exactly. For Chelsea alone, loads. But also, he's top scorer now. Well, level with Haaland.
He's level with Haaland, which in itself seems ridiculous.
And he's way over with assists. And it's just astonishing because the header was just being the right place at the right time.
But the first goal,
I mean, that was, you were talking about...
Well, he just plays with such...
Nutmeg, it's then arrogance. Keel, and then...
That arrogance is the thing you need when you're going to be that player.
Fearless, isn't it? And he's, what is he, 21?
I mean, look, don't get me wrong, City are not shy of that kind of player. Would he work with Foden? Probably a bit.
In a way, if he didn't go, maybe Foden had to go, and that was the problem, you know. Foden's a local... Well, he's a local lad, isn't he? He's a...
Well, we could have at least shown some interest, because... He's not the kind of player.
Actually, the other layer you mentioned, well, more than I realised, by buying Havertz, you enable us to buy him.
Pretty at sure half I know the price. Which one
but it was price. Really good. And what was funny, because I was watching it with Klaus, who'd been irritatingly well behaved, but what was funny, we got caught the second half, and of course, the penalty, he has. Only Chelsea could start fighting amongst themselves.
Oh, that was
over
perfect.
A penalty. Sorry. At 4-0 up.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Still thinking we should have a fight. And not just one.
No, all
but
three
two
of them.
Others thinking they should take a penalty. And they're taking a penalty with someone who's the nominated penalty taker who has not missed a penalty. He scored 10 up until that point. And yet they're pairing. Did you see it?
Well, two things. Like, one, I've heard of a team being sore losers before, but being sore winners is definitely new.
Chelsea
is a new one.
And two, if we're going to praise Palmer and Haaland being up there, Ollie Watkins is up there without penalties.
Jesus, he's looking. He doesn't take penalties.
He doesn't take because Douglas.
And he's, you're right. He's on 19, isn't he? He's right up there.
Douglas Luiz takes their penalties.
And we gave him one.
Jesus,
you
Christ.
Did give him one.
We give
but
him one.
I just thought Palmer, and actually though, the one that got me most, I think you spotted it, even you said, Gilchrist coming on and scoring.
Oh, there was
and
love.
Even the goons were going, oh, you can't begrudge him.
He looks miles older than he is.
Yeah, he's well, he's actually 20, but he's what was 20, funny, wow. I sort of thought, why is he going? And I go,
I saw him
I think
at
that's
one,
his first goal.
I saw him at one angle and I thought this could be his testimonial. He Jesus. Definitely looks
no,
older.
He looks, we thought he looked a bit like Tom Cruise, which...
Is it?
They looked a little bit at one of the pictures, but it was just watching it go over him, what he'd done. He celebrated. You see him go again because he's suddenly, and then he's looking up to see his mum's obviously, or his dad's in the crowd. He's looking for them. It was just quite nice. I'd go a bit. It's not that he's Chelsea player. Any player watching them that's been at, he's been at the club since he was 9, I think.
Wow.
And he's
yeah, but let me put it to you as a Chelsea fan. In retrospective, it makes Roman Abramovich look like a super
genius.
Owner.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you see now in the Premier League more often than not all these weirdos dumping their billions on clubs. And the success rate is not that high. Because Everton had one of these woo-woos who went nowhere other than point deductions. Southampton had someone, I guess, over the
but
years.
But I don't think, to be fair to Southampton and Everton, they didn't. I remember getting all worried about Roman coming, not any of the, you know, political things, none of that bothered me. What bothered me was thinking, he spent a lot of money. And then somebody, then I looked into it, because he'd spent something like, you know, then what was a lot of money, like 300 million here, 100 million
he
there.
He sold it for 2 point, whatever.
But when I looked into it, I said, oh, that's a lot of money. And then I looked into his wealth, and sadly, that's when you realise, then he had something like 6 billion. So I sort of did the maths. It was a bit like me spending few hundred pounds or something. The amount of money that he'd spent was pocket money.
Well, I can remember it feels like not that long ago the Arsenal fans were really rallying against new ownership because the Cronkies were not spending money.
Yeah.
And in the heat of that bile, a news broke about how Stan Kroenke was spending £750 million on land because he wanted to buy acres in I think it was in America.
Right.
And everyone's like, hold on, so
yeah.
But also, I think with Dan Kroenke, probably worth checking, but I'm fairly sure his missus is...
It's the rich one, yeah.
It's Walmart.
Walmart, yeah.
Walmart.
Oh, I think you're right. That does ring a bell.
Yeah, so there's money in there.
I immediately boycotted
even
Walmart.
Even the Kroenkes realised you only earn money if you win. So since a couple of years, you can see how much money goes in. But the structure is already very good at Arsenal, I think.
It's when got better. There was a massive...
Less when it got better.
Yeah.
Because when you look at Oba, 350 a week, Özil, 350 a week in the early 30s, went off the very next day, playing PlayStation all day and night and never played again.
But then you had Pepe, 70-odd million.
Chelsea, you have to admit, I have to say that out of envy even, of jealousy, that they spend well, they recouped a lot... and everyone wanted to go there.
Yeah.
And that was the funny thing.
There was a while, you're right.
It, even Man City there now, people say like, well, how many people got ruined there? Calvin Phillips, Grealish is hardly playing anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're ending up earning loads of money, but then never playing. And Calvin Phillips is a shadow of himself now. And Grealish hardly kicks a ball all day. So you have the choices. I still can't understand why everyone wants to go to Barcelona. Because they are...
This is true. A mate of mine is quite... knew a few people at Man United. This was back in the day when Man United were a big team in Manchester. And he said they do struggle. And the problem is, particularly the South American or all the Mediterranean players, they go to Manchester. And I think Tevez or somebody said it. They said there's three restaurants. Now, obviously, I like Manchester. And it's obviously better than that. This was a while ago. But the problem they've got is... they go there, they've got hundreds of thousands, now millions, but they are in the northwest of England.
Jesus.
In London, it's better, because there's a community from any country in the world. There'll be a good, solid community if you're Brazilian, but Argentinian. But in the end, it's still London, and the winter's a bit grey and miserable. I think if you go to Barcelona or Real Madrid, you've got similar money. If you're South American or South European, they'll speak your language. And you'll get sunshine.
I hate Barcelona.
I quite like it. Do you like it?
A city I don't like. Spain is something I'm never touching.
I love
France, but Spain.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Have a bad experience, Chris?
The Spanish are just... they're always laughing in the face and then stepping you in the back. Is that when you read all these articles? Oh, we don't want any Brits anymore in Spain. They're paying your wages, you little losers. Because you earn nothing, and then you want to choose, or we only want to have rich people who
behave. That's me saying you're trying not to cough. Yeah. You've got taglines.
That's
like
a good
that.
One. Klaus is saying rants.
Let me put it over, and then you complain. Jesus Christ, give me a break. I live with a few Spanish people, and they are horrible.
They are quite whiny.
They're horrible people.
Oh, just be careful. Like
yeah.
Spaniards.
No, they're always like, oh, papa, papa, and then they take you. I'm like, Jesus, give me a break.
Right. I'm going to hold that point. I'm going to ask you to spend
much. I did read actually today, quite topical, about Ibiza. There's a program coming out about Ibiza. Now, I remember going to Ibiza.
Yeah.
We had one friend, wealthy friend girl, whose mum, stepmum or someone, had a white villa up in the hills. And
very nice.
This is 40
nice.
Years ago, class.
Well,
we were there
nice.
Like rats up a drain pipe, hanging on until these mum found out we were just smelly doctors.
Jesus.
So we then had to sleep on sun loungers by the beach in Ibiza. Messy business. Now, apparently, we wouldn't stand a chance because it's all gone to the super and hyper rich. Ibiza, apparently now, the good old British raver cannot afford to go to Ibiza anymore.
And that's the other thing. I don't see the draw of Spain. It's not like, wow, rich
like,
of everything.
I quite like Catalonia.
There is like, some parts which are rich of culture and inheritance.
And also, Klaus, there's that Spanish Bombs by The Clash. So we've got to like them for that alone.
There we go.
Which is actually all the Spanish I know.
I still don't like them.
Not a current Felita.
I
don't actually know what it means though, Klaus.
I hope one day I'll find out. It's great, but so far I had only experience them. I thought like, well.
So where, if you could, apart from London, if you like, could you could live anywhere, where would
I would go
to
Italy.
Whereabouts though?
Anywhere. Italy, I love Italy. The food. I love the quality of life. People are genuinely nice, or they spit in your face. That's what it is, and I like that. I love that about England too.
You like being spat in the face?
No, but it's like you don't want these people who smile at you and then, oh, booyah,
so you get
behind.
Alice was very nice, wasn't she, last night? She was very nice.
She needs to eat a bit more, I have to say.
She needs to eat. Well, I think Harry was very generously offering us some of your chips, I noticed.
Good.
Alice is Harry's girlfriend who took him to Milan.
Very
she
nice.
She turned up in post-match chips and Guinness meeting.
Very sweet, yeah. So what would your destination
be? Actually, Italy's a good call. I love Italy. I've only been three times. And I love the South of France. I quite like the idea. As long as I could just sidestep that Gare du Nord, because they're out to get me up there, as we've talked about in previous episodes of this. So the south of France is a little bit, even however sort of...
It's a little bit tricky classic. For Brucey.
Saint-Tropez, and the sort of Papou plage around there. could just see myself
fantastic, yeah,
hanging up. It's just a nice vibe. But the French are a bit, that is the trouble with being British, isn't it? We're not well liked in Europe after the whole Brexit business. But I can't, but Italy, they're less bothered. The Greeks, I like the Greeks actually. The Greeks are quite philosophical.
You know what it is? The funny thing is, the real Brits, I always say, who are like well educated, I love them.
That's you, me, Steve.
Yeah,
yeah, we're lovely.
If you go with the football louts, not
that's
quite
also
there.
Us. Yeah. That is also us.
Yeah. And there's a mixture where these two come together.
They're the perfect ones.
But you see, I remember the Euros where you got beaten up by the Russians or something like that.
Yes, in Marseille.
And I remember there was a friend of mine from Austria there saying, like, you know what? It was very funny. The Brits were all mouthy. And it was just like, we F Europe because la la la, we're getting out of it. And then you got beaten up by the Russians, and the French police were standing by. They're like, so how do you like
nothing.
Europe then, now? Yeah, you like it? Oh, that's the Russians. That's where you go up to next. Have a good day.
Is that what they said? Were you there?
More or less, yeah. More or less. It was said to
see.
Can
we just be clear as well, for just clarity, I think we'll find that was English rather than British. We'll get that difference right.
Let's put it that way. I'm still struggling. Everyone's British.
Fancy playing his Scottish card.
Everyone's British because you ask people, because the funny thing is I know a lot of minority background people, because somehow as a foreigner you mingle up with them more often than with the Brits. So everyone's British, but no one's English.
Yes, they are.
Nah, if you ask any North African or all the colonies,
they won't say English, they'll say
British. They are all British.
That's an interesting observation.
If you ask a Pakistani, a Malaysian, all coming in from the colonies, they're all British.
Because it's the British Empire.
They're all British.
I suppose it's because
no,
not the English Empire, it's the British Empire.
No one's English. So that's why I'm still mixing it up. Sorry for that.
No, that's fine.
Okay, is it enough?
Fantasy football.
Ordinarily,
I wouldn't be pushing it. However, after last night,
you're winning it.
I won fantasy football last week in total. And this week, I won Monday Night Football Fantasy League. And I came second by 1 point on No Clean Sheets fantasy football, and that 1 point, funnily enough, WhatsApp from him very quickly, Steve, because guess who won fantasy football on No Clean Sheets? Do you know?
I don't, but I can guess that the person that would message you.
Deep Purple Piers. Straight, I got this. I think it's my top score, 93 points, of which 52 were cold.
Now, be honest, had you looked at your team prior to the game week, which you clearly
didn't. I did look at it, and what happened? Again, it wasn't I was on the building. I looked at it, I had it all lined up to do the transfers, and then I got called away from the computer and then missed it. And so I missed again, so I didn't change again.
So if you had changed,
and that was the trouble.
Was Palmer going to be your captain?
I think Palmer would have been my captain because I don't have Haaland, and they couldn't. I think Palmer, Everton, he probably will score a couple of goals. So he would probably still be the captain, but I'd have probably cocked up something else. Like, I think I would, well, actually, I think I'd taken Pedro out because I decided something's gone wrong with
this. Who is the decider of the team of the week? How is that decided?
No, you get points. You get points.
Yeah, but how do you choose who's the
winner?
Yeah.
The one who got the most points. I choose
it's
it.
Very
I only
easy.
Mention it when I win.
Okay.
Is 99% of the time we don't discuss it at all.
Okay.
And it never comes up into this podcast. And then the other 2%, Bruce wins it.
And
we have
always had a discussion.
And we have
talked
about it.
So I have thrashed.
I'm not actually
catching up with you that much.
What did you do? You didn't do that badly, actually, did you?
Considering I'm dealing with a player scoring 4 goals as people's captain.
That was superb. But of course, bloody, I was getting cross because Chris did quite well. Because Chris is the one I'm trying to catch, because of course he's a game short and he's still beating me on cliches. But I was having a go at him, but I think he subbed out Cole Palmer. Not subbed him out, but
he
stopped him being his captain. So
the
he
problem
wasn't
against Chris for you is that you're a Chelsea fan and Chris is more or less the professor who chooses from knowledge rather than his heart.
Exactly. Well,
so
and that is the point.
Always
the reason I'm doing well, of course, is because Chelsea are doing quite well at the moment. It's a bit like with Harry's bombing, because Liverpool are bombing.
Coming back to Chelsea, are you getting anywhere near Europe in any competition?
If you win, well, there's two things. If we win the FA Cup, which is a big if, because we play City
on
Saturday.
It's only semi-finals on Saturday.
Semi-finals Saturday.
Are you going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Chelsea.
Wembley Bridge.
Who's Jesus. Off with you?
Piers. Deep Purple Piers. Oh, no. Deep Purple Piers can't go. He's got some family birthday. His ticket is being touted around. Scott, my brother's coming, and little Nigel's coming. Pretty messy, wow. I think. With those
that's why cities are playing, because I was looking who's City playing this weekend. Like, nah, they're not playing.
And then we're playing, I think we're playing Arsenal on Tuesday.
Yeah, it's true.
So well, I should get some Arsenal. Are you playing at the weekend as well? No.
We've got Wolves.
So you've got two games.
So basically, Goons we could be games. 6 points ahead. No, what is it? 2 points behind? Four points ahead.
And then City are playing in midweek.
Jesus Christ.
What's going on? Is that midweek whole season, whole teams, everyone seems to be playing midweek.
There's a couple of doubles.
But the tragic is
City
we could be still sitting second or even third and losing a lot of plus in our goal difference.
But this would come down to the old Fergie mind games of you'd rather the points on the board. So if Arsenal could get ahead.
I agree.
I would love that. But at the end of the day, Wolverhampton, we had dodgy games against them.
Yeah, but you know, you'll be all right away. Is that away?
Yeah.
So that, in a funny
Chelsea,
way.
Chelsea can be one or the other.
Yeah, you don't know what you'll get with Chelsea.
Yeah, I don't want to break it. It's been 2 decades of dodgy results against a lot of teams.
I think you'll be all right against Wolves. You know why? You're away. But the away support, in a funny way, the pressure's less. It is Wolves.
It's true, yeah, it's true.
Whereas the trickier game is Chelsea. However,
that's funny. I think the trickier game's Wolves.
Do you? See, I think Chelsea.
They are both tricky. That's the problem now. They're all problem now. They're all tricky.
I think you'll be all right against Chelsea. I think we'll be either elated and knackered.
I've got to stress that's not me coughing for once.
But I tell you what, it will depend on tomorrow. If we win tomorrow, we win both games.
Yeah,
if we lose tomorrow, we ain't going to win a thing till the end of the
season. There'll be a wave
that's
of belief.
Prediction, sadly.
No, I think
because
you're right.
If we can overcome Bayern Munich, all of a sudden our youngsters will become invincible. They will feel like Jesus with never ever.
Klaus has had his second drink now and it's going. He's totally gone. But he's gone from miserable old goon to happy old blind
mostly
optimism
unhappy,
goon.
But
I think that's the right call, actually. I think
to be frank, the problem with Arsenal is that there are too many divas and not enough workers. For over a long period of time, where the balance was always towards the divas, who then, when it comes to crunch time, were a bit too brittle. And I remember Alonso was on the verge of signing for Arsenal after winning the World Cup of Fabregas, and Alonso were unbeatable for Spain. And then Wenger somehow got stingy again. Oh, can't afford this, can't afford that. Imagine we're having Alonso and Suarez when they were available and not for 50 million £1, pay them 66 million and we're winning the league for 3 years in a row.
But I think the additional pound offer for Suarez ended up having better value because I think it continued Wenger's list of players he almost signed. I actually think that's worth more now than actually signing.
That's his legacy. Good. Right. I think, is there anything else, Steve, anything you wanted to touch on?
I feel like we've covered everything from...
I think it's been quite goon-heavy, but I kind of knew that
well,
was
what do you
happen.
Expect?
Well, I thought Harry would...
What do you expect,
Harry
Amigo? But let me put it that way. Straight to you, Bruce.
What's that?
What do you want to talk about Chelsea, which you haven't discussed endlessly before? That value for money is not with you right now.
Are you,
so at the end of the day,
what's your implication? There's a repetition about
well,
this podcast.
The problem with Chelsea is there's nothing to talk about.
There is. There's a lot to talk about because we are. I think you're now sort of find the future, Klaus. Chelsea are the future because we're
in
a young
what?
Team.
In how,
Gilchrist.
In how to
the new John Terry, apparently.
In how to waste some
a
hedge fund money, which again, Burley and this weirdo in his white coat. I don't even know the name.
That's another
spending
thing.
Spending other people's money for no reason other than dumping it because Chelsea will be worth nothing. They have a little ground, which will be like you can't generate the money. The money for the weekly
trouble.
Income.
This is the trouble, Klaus. But it's in Chelsea. It's not up there in fucking Holloway, which all right is getting gentrified. But it's
It's the King's Road. It's the only ground in the country, in a part of the world you'd want to live, apart from maybe Stratford,
if you're Austrian refugee.
The sad things about that is, now Chelsea is a ghost town. Because I used to live in Gloucester Road 20 years ago, and it was a vibrant place. Now you're driving through Chelsea, Kensington, or whatever, it's like there's no pubs open, hardly anymore. Half of the houses are empty because all the rich gangster Russians are now gone to God knows where.
We're in Ukraine.
And that's the sad part of Chelsea and Kensington, that so many empty houses, no livelihoods. It was a vibrant place 20 years ago.
It's a valid point. King's Road in Fulham Road.
Well, King's Road Fulham Road is like Portobello Road at the weekend. Go there on Monday morning, no one's there.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. There's no one living there anymore. And that's why there will be the drop off very soon, because if rich people get bored, they're moving on to the next super place.
Yeah, but I get that locally, but let's be fair, Chelsea supporters don't live on Gloucester Road or King's Road or the Fulham Road.
That is the good part of it. But let's be frank with these Yankee Doodle Dandies. I have my really big doubts that you're getting out of the trenches anytime soon.
I like your optimism as a goon. Who does own Arsenal now?
An American.
Who?
Who does what?
Who owns?
It's still the Yankees.
Is he a Yankee Doodle Dandy?
He is a Yankee Doodle Dandy, and we were not happy with him for many, many years.
Is three of the top four now not owned by American?
I think so.
Yeah, Aston Villa's American, isn't it?
Liverpool.
With?
No, Liverpool. Yeah, I mean, Man United is...
Oh, Ineos.
They've got Ratcliffe in.
Good state of the Premier League that the top four are Middle Eastern and American.
Jesus Christ.
The
last point for that podcast is, how on earth is it possible that the richest league in the world is self-regulating each? It's like, how the heck is that possible? These point deductions are all of a sudden coming in. There's no jurisdiction for anyone not involved in it. It's like the post office scandal. The post office is the judge, the accuser, and the thing. It's like, how the heck is that possible?
You know, you're right. It's well, we have
a completely dependent thing, and if you're having enough money, like Man City does, you know the outcome already.
Well, I did say to the CF Phoenix guy that was at Stamford Bridge, the Evertonian, that it does feel a little bit like someone's just wetting their finger and sticking it in the air when it comes to deciding.
Points. And we have talked about this, Klaus. The fact that the people that have been dot points are Nottingham Forest and Everton, with all due respect, and yet Man City, Chelsea, Newcastle,
You see, at the end of the day, I don't care. What is really disturbing is, as you rightly said, it's like this.
Yeah.
And then in the middle of the season, what's that going to be?
That is a bit strange.
It's like, amigos, you need to have anything in place rule-wise that you do it in a certain way.
Summer.
Not like, oh, Man City, secretly, behind doors, no one knows what.
Klaus.
No one even saw that.
Klaus, it's good. It's enough now. But it's good. Yeah, it is enough, frankly. But it's good been lovely. Know. Thank you very much for coming.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Straight on the crisps.
Back on the crisps. That's packet number three for Klaus. Lovely to see you. Actually, genuinely, and I mean it, good luck against Bayern Munich.
We need it.
Bad luck on Tuesday. Good luck at the weekend against Wolves. Because actually, you are still the best of a bad three bunch, and I do still want Arsenal to win it over City and the Scousers.
But you see, what I don't understand is, what are you playing for now? It's fun. The funny thing.
The love of the game. Yeah. Klaus, we just play for the laughs.
They chucked out Everton as if you really played well.
Well, I think that's the trouble. See, back to your point earlier, but we haven't got time, but it's exactly that. Nothing at stake, really. Joy of football.
You wouldn't want to lose 6-0 going into an FA Cup semi-final.
No, maybe that's probably what they're playing for. They're playing for a game.
Actually, now I've said that out loud, play in a way where they could have got injured.
Yeah. Oh, no, they did. And actually, they were going in for it, Chelsea. It was probably a dirty game at the end.
Yeah.
Steve, thanks for soldiering through No, all of us here.
I was coughing more than you. No, it was equal.
Let's just say it was all you.
All of us rearranged things. I really appreciate it. We all basically rearranged this for Harry.
Well done, Harry.
Not here, and he messaged some ridiculous. It's going to be a bit tight because we're going to have to get some stuff together for the rehearsal. Harry
stuff has taken his what rehearsal? Oh, the Palava.
Palava playing. I think
how did you come across that name?
I don't know, it's not a bad name actually.
Because it's a German word, Palava.
Is it?
Actually, yeah. Don't Palava.
But it does mean it is a word in English.
Is it too?
Yeah, no, Palava is, you know, what a Palava, a lot of mess. Which, funny enough, good word.
No, but Palava in German means waffle.
Waffle? Or,
yeah, to waffle around, you know?
Yeah, Palava here means to be a bit chaotic, just sort of all over the place.
Okay.
But, well, I mean, Harry.
There we go.
Harry could be the star.
Synonymous with the band.
Yeah. Gentlemen. Till next week. Take care.
Take it easy.
Thank you so much.